Good morning, church family. I bet all of you feel so weird being around people and also feel weird not being around people. But I believe it is not a problem for us to worship God, who is a spirit, so that we are now joyful in worshiping Him in spirit and truth together. Today, I'd like to finish the series of Fruitfulness on the Frontline. The title refers to be a messenger of the gospel. Before I begin, let's review the key points of the past two series. I'm certain that we all remember Helen's preaching that we are meant to stick out in the world, not to blend in. Also, we remember Roger's preaching to speak out courageously, creatively, and passionately in the world for the gospel. In line with this, Peter wrote the best Bible verses about how to become a messenger of the gospel wisely. Let's open Bible together. 1 Peter 3, 15 to 16. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with a gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I want to focus on the words prepare, answer, with reason. Suddenly, these days, we are watching the news more than ever from all over the world. There are trustworthy reporting skills required to deliver the news correctly to people using 5W1H rules. Who, when, where, what, why, how? I thought that is the exact way how we should deliver the good news to people based on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. How wonderful and fantastic would it be when people believe it straight away upon hearing the simple message? Trust me, I've met few people accepting Jesus immediately. As a matter of fact, Peter knew that some would be very doubtful with so many questions. Here Peter suggested us to prepare the answers for the reason of hope. I thought that we all need to think about ourselves under 5W1H format, how we were before hearing about Jesus and after we met Jesus personally. Who were you? Where were you? When did you recognize Jesus' calling? When did you meet Jesus personally? What happened to you then? How's your life changed? Why did you decide to follow Jesus? It might be a good idea to write down your own testimony for 3 to 5 minutes version based on that outline and also a longer one as well. Once you've finished preparation, perhaps practice out loud till you feel comfortable in delivering it naturally. Why not practice here to the church family? As Johnny announced last week, he wants more testimonies to be heard in the church times like this. Brothers and sisters, let's not be shameful to show who you were before Christ, but let's be boastful how greatly God's love demands your life and everything where you are now. At this point, I'd like to share my recent dialogue with my parents. As you may know, I'm from South Korea, and my family has a very strong Confucian way of practicing Buddhism. They used to go to the temple only once a year. Being Confucianist and Buddhist at the same time Sounds complicated, doesn't it? My mom and my dad value and respect politeness to the highest level. I heard that the reason for them to live like that was just to be respected and envied by others. In my eyes, they were living their life for others to watch, and they were busy catching up on other people's life. They were watching and envying. That's why it has been so difficult to make them to listen about Jesus, who they cannot see physically. But I pray for them constantly and ask God to open their spiritual eyes to see Jesus as a Savior and Lord. Lately, my parents call me every day due to the corona situation here. They ask me, "Aren't you scared?" I said, "No." Then my mom was reporting all the information she watched from the news about UK to convince me to have a fear. I said to my mom, "Mom, I was living like a dead person, chasing someone's shadow all the time. I've told you many times, Jesus saved my life, and my life changed since. I'm sorry to say this to you, but I'm okay whether I die or live. If I die, I know Jesus would have prepared my room in heaven. If I live, I'm thankful that I can wake up every morning and thankful that I can breathe every moment." Then she started laughing and said, "Okay, okay, you fanatic Christian. Your Jesus resurrected, but my Buddha just died, right?" Funny story, but my mom already can recite the essential story of what Jesus did by hearing Jesus' story with my combined story in it. Very soon, I believe that my parents will accept Jesus as a Savior and Lord. I think they listened to me better than before, as she noticed my different attitude in life: caring instead of selfishness, forgiving instead of unforgiving. Most importantly, I keep telling them, "I love you and thank you." The way I speak to my parents, we all can begin to talk about the reason why we are not in fear in the midst of this pandemic. Be confident. The peace we have in us is also very infectious to the same extent as the virus, so that we can comfort our family, friends, and work colleagues, even strangers. Let me ask you four questions. Who do you see around you? Where can you meet people? When do you recognize someone special who is selfish, fearful, unforgiving, angry, rough, and sad? What can we do for them? Before we look around where you stand to answer the questions, may I suggest the habits that we need to learn together in the church? Firstly, let's expect we will meet someone who rejects us because of our faith. Let's pray to respond with gentleness and respect to those people with no manipulation, no aggression, no bullying attitudes, no dismissing people, but pray that God enables us to stick out and speak out for the good news. Secondly, let's expect that we will have a very different community from now on. Certainly and suddenly, we have a very different community already. Not only my family, my church, my country anymore, but also the world is so intertwined within one click. Thirdly, let's expect God will use us for spreading out the good news. And God will also spread us out to the world to build God's kingdom. Lastly, let's expect we will be asked about our hope. That's why earlier I suggested ready to shoot your testimony whenever there is a chance to say when asked. It is like tearing your shirt off to show your full armor of God you wear inside before you fly off. A few years ago, I was walking from Little to New Malden High Street, and I saw a man sitting in a van crying. I don't know why I knocked the car window and said, "Hi, are you okay, by the way?" He told me his problems briefly, and I shared my short testimony after I offered my prayer to him. Surprisingly, he ended up accepting Jesus as a Savior and Lord upon hearing the good news. Do you think he's saved as he accepted Jesus as Lord? What do you think? Only God knows. I still cannot figure it out what on earth happened with that man on that day. But I believe that is God's urgency and God's promise. That's why I take evangelism effort seriously, because the world needs to hear the name of Jesus more than ever. Paul explained the reason why we have to spread the good news in Romans chapter 10, 13 to 15. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." There are, and there were, many Christians who have beautiful feet in the world, standing as a frontline messengers. Have you seen the YouTube clip called "Christian in Wuhan, China, giving out free masks to people"? They were also spreading out a short gospel message to people with risking their life against virus and also against the communist regime on the front line. Have you heard a missionary, Robert Thomas, who was beheaded as soon as he put his feet on Korean soil in 1866? Before he died, he said in poor Korean, handing the Bible to his executioner, "Take this book, which will give you eternal life." That executioner became a church elder later, who built a first ever Korean church in Pyongyang, North Korea. There was a kernel seed died. Now in there produce many seeds in Korea. I happen to be one of the many seeds. Church, we can identify our own front lines. My family, my friends, and neighbors who are in fear in this pandemic are my front lines. As a South Korean, I expect North Korea will be my future front line. What is your front lines? I'm sure experiencing this painful time enables us to ripen our relationship with God. Therefore, we expect God's urgent healing in China and the rest of the world. And we expect the great God's mercy in North Korea from the spot Thomas stood and died. As Jesus spotted us and spoke to us and saved us, God expects us to be frontline messengers to spread out good news with whomever we meet, wherever we go, whenever we stand on our front line. Thank you, church.